morning. Good to see you guys. We are so happy you're here this morning. Isn't it awesome worship this morning? Come gather together with our brothers and sisters and just give praise and glory to Him. I love mornings like this. I know that some of us don't like the cold, so we don't like to get up in the morning and get out. But I'm glad we're here. And I know it's the Christmas season and it's a time where we're busy and we do a ton of things. And I know that it's also a time where the time seems to be going by quickly, because I realized last night in the service that we only had 10 days until Christmas. And I realized at that point that all those times that I heard my elders when I was little say, the time's flying by, or there's not enough time in the day, that's actually true when you get to be older. And how quickly 2018 has gone by and how quickly Christmas is coming. And I love the Christmas season. Like Jared said, there's people who are still shopping and they have the opportunity to grab a gift and to bless someone. And I think gift giving is awesome. It just doesn't have to be at Christmas time. But it's a time where we choose to give a gift, to let someone know that we're thinking about them, that we love them, that we remember them. And honestly, more than anything, it seems like we just want to let them know that we are so happy that they are part of our lives. And so in these last 2 weeks, we've been in a series. It's called Watching and Waiting. And I believe that we are talking about watching and waiting for a gift. A gift like no other gift. A gift of a son. The gift of a son who will be king, and a king like no other. And I think to myself, this gift doesn't compare to anything that we give to one another. This gift can only come from God. And this gift will come in a son, and it will be fully God, and he will be fully man. And that gift is, that son is King Jesus. In this Advent season, we've been looking at this son that is to come, and we've learned about him through a birth announcement. An announcement that is given 700 years before Jesus even is born. An announcement that comes at a time in which the people of Israel are probably wondering if God's forgotten about them. That they were the chosen people and that things should have probably been different. They should be in more power and more control. But the truth is that things are being out of control and they're not in control and they feel pressed on. And I think to myself, we kind of think that way too. At times we look at our world and we're like, God, are you here for us? Do you see us in this crazy, out of control world? And so this birth announcement that we read about, we find that God hasn't forgot about Israel. He hasn't forgot about any of us. Because he's going to send a son, a child. He's going to send a savior, King Jesus. And so if you haven't been with us, we've been in the Old Testament. We've been in the book of Isaiah, and we're looking at chapter 9. If you want to follow along in the Bible that's in front of you or in your phone, you can pull it up. Isaiah's in the Old Testament between the Song of Solomon and Jeremiah. And what we're going to look at is chapter 9. You can also follow on the screen. And we're going to begin in verse 6, and it says this. For a child is born to us, a son is given to us. The government will rest on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Now, the last 2 weeks, we've looked at the titles. If you weren't with us, those four titles that you read in there, Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father and Prince of Peace are the titles given to the king that is to come. It's to describe who he will be, what his passions will be, the type of king that he will be. And over the last 2 weeks, we looked at a wise, full of wisdom, and all-powerful Father, God, who gives us this son, this king to be. And so today, what we're going to look at is the title Everlasting Father. And I kind of want to pause here for a moment, because I know that when people hear the word father, we have different reactions. Some of us will have a reaction that is like, I love my father. I had the greatest relationship. I love him. It was good. He was connected. He was there. But I know that there are those of us who would say that we didn't have that father. And so when we hear that title, we kind of shut down or we become tense. Because we think more of a disconnected, abusive, maybe mean, whatever the fill in the blank that didn't happen. And so it's hard for you to hear about an everlasting father. But I also know that there's another group. A group when you hear father, you just think nothing. Absent, never there. And the reason why I want to stop here and pause for this moment is because our relationship with our parents, not just our father, but our parents, both of them, have to play into our identity. They feed into what we tell ourselves and who we are. Now, you'll never see me be or hear me be a person who 100% blames anyone for who I am today or who we are today. We all make choices. And yes, things happen to us, but the impact of our parents is something that builds our self-esteem or tears it down. It adds to our identity. And so I know some people have kind of a negative self-view because they didn't have anybody there to tell them that they love them. And I know that from my own experience. Because my father was in my life, I believe my parents did the best they could with what they knew. But my dad was in my life early on, and I guess we had a good relationship. I don't remember much about it. I only remember the times where it wasn't good, and it wasn't good. And it got so bad at one point that I just remember coming home one day. My brother was home alone, and I realized that my dad wasn't there anymore. He had left. And those thought processes, that impact that that has on who we are, who I was, that thought of your parents can leave, if your dad can leave, then I must not be worth it. And what I'm trying to drive home is that from my own personal experience and being a therapist and talking to people, I know that our self-talk due to experiences can be so damaging and so critical. And so I used to tell myself that I don't matter. I was an angry person. And you know what? How I treated myself is how I would treat all of you if you knew me back then. I didn't respect myself. I didn't respect you. I could care less if you liked me. I was angry at you and I didn't know you. But that's how I treated myself. I would look in the mirror. And I was angry and mean to myself, even though I don't think I knew who I was looking at. And so in this moment, as we're going to dive into Everlasting Father, one of the things I want to challenge us to do is to pray in this moment that, Father, you would open our eyes and our hearts and our ears to hear what you have to say to us. Because I know that we have our past and we have our belief systems about ourselves, but I also believe we worship a God who can change and penetrate through any lie, any negative self-talk, and transform who we are. So this morning, as we look at Everlasting Father, may you be open to knowing him deeper and richer than you've ever known him before. So as we look at this, Everlasting Father is an awesome view of God. He's sending his son to reveal the Father, who will be king and king forever. Now, when you break down these terms, Everlasting Father, really when you read it in Hebrew, father, the word father would be first. So you'd have Father Everlasting or Father Eternal. And that word father is that title. And what do we think of when we think of father? We have all kinds of different thoughts, but the definition of this word would mean to be the head of a household. But not just one household, the head of all creation, the head of this entire world. And he's the provider and the protector that you would find in a father. And when you look at that word everlasting, some of your translations might say eternal. It means timeless, forever, past, present, and future. So in other words, there will never be a time without God the Father. There will never be another God, and there will be before him or after him. He is God of all eternity, forever and ever. Now, when you study this word, one of the interesting things I came across with scholars is they were talking about what this word means in the present tense. And I love this. Because in the present tense, eternal or everlasting means reliable, enduring, faithful. So think about that. Father, reliable. Reliable Father. Enduring, faithful Father forever. That is the King who is to come. The Son, fully God, fully man, who will reign. And he will be our Father forever. He will be dependable, reliable. He will not be flaky. He will not judge you or say things to you based on how he feels in that particular moment. There will be no criticism or pulling back of love because God's had a bad day. He is dependable. He is continuously consistent. That is the Father that we are talking about, who is everlasting. And so through God, he gives us his Son. And think about that for a moment. He comes into the world to reveal his Father. And he reveals him because God, the people of Israel believe that God's forgotten about them. How many people can relate in moments where we think God's forgotten about us? And the truth is God sends his Son to say, I am here. Here is my Son. I am giving you God and man, and I am giving you a Savior, a King, because I love you. Jesus comes to reveal to us, to show to us God's connectedness to his creation. His overwhelming love, his ability, his willingness to never, ever give up on us. To never, ever give up. And so he does send him into the world. And we find, and when you read the New Testament, the second half of the Bible, and the first four books of the New Testament are the Gospels, which is the good news. That's what gospel means. And it's the good news of Jesus, the Son that has been sent, the one that we're being told about in this birth announcement, who comes and we read of his ministry and his impact in this world. He is like no other. He comes in no form that anyone expected. They expected a king who would just be better than the king before. They didn't, just a man. They got God, a Savior, Jesus, who loves those who believe they are unlovable, who are told they are unlovable. He comes and heals those who we probably would turn our eyes from because they seem broken or something must be messed up with them, so we don't go near them. He teaches us to treat one another in a way in which we've never heard before. In Luke 19:10, he tells us the reason why he came. He says, "For the Son of Man came to seek and save those who are lost." Sometimes I think to myself, am I lost? And when I look around and I get caught up in the world and I get caught up in the things that people tell us that Christmas should be, yes, I look around and sometimes I can feel lost. Sometimes I'll ask myself, am I doing what I'm supposed to be doing? And then I get outside of myself and I look at my friends and my family in this world and I realize this world needs Jesus. This world is lost without him, and we show that. We are constantly highlighting how we are lost by seeking fame and fortune, by trying to one-up the other person, by being willing to put someone down to make ourselves feel better, as if that will make us feel better and worthy or something. And the truth is the only time we find worth and value is through Jesus Christ, who came as the Son of God, and he bore our sins. And for those of you who don't know what that means, all that means is that Jesus came for a purpose. He came not just to walk the earth and be a great teacher. He came to be the ultimate sacrifice, the only sacrifice needed for every single one of us, to be forgiven of our sins, for to be forgiven for all the weirdnesses that we do in life that separate us and put a gap between us and our Father. And he died and he took the pain of everything we've done, but he didn't stay dead. He rose again. He defeated death, and that shows us that our Father, the mighty God, nothing defeats him. Your thought process does not defeat him. The world, when they tell you you're less than because you don't have enough likes on Facebook or whatever it is, he defeats all things. There is nothing mightier than our everlasting Father. We have been adopted. When I sit and I look out here and we're singing together, I thought to myself this morning, I'm singing with my brothers and sisters. Because we all have the same Father, because when we accept Jesus as Lord and Savior, we have been adopted. We call the mighty God our Father. So we are sons and daughters of the Most High God. And what that does is it changes our perspective on ourselves and on others. See, Jesus came as a light into the world. If you read in the next book, John, in the Gospels, it says this in John 8:12. I am the light of the world, Jesus says. If you follow me, you won't have to walk in darkness because you will have the light that leads to life. You will have the light that leads to life. I know that some of you in here know him. I know some of you in here don't know him. That light, that darkness that we don't have to walk in, isn't just walking around in a world out there, outside these walls when it's dark alone. What about the darkness in our hearts or in our minds? We can have Jesus as the light that lights that up and allows us to forgive, allows us to be transformed. See, when I told you about my father and how he left, years later after my daughter was born, I was kind of pressured to reconnect with my dad. I knew where he was, and so I tried. It was hard and difficult. My daughter was young, and I went to see him, and I will remember forever the last words that my dad said to me. He said to me, you never have to come back here again. I don't have a daughter. And I remember thinking to myself, two different things. One, thank goodness I don't have to do this anymore. Super hard. And then I remember looking at my daughter and saying that I will never, ever say those words to you. And I realize I am not one to talk about myself. You probably all know that. But I realize our Father will never, ever, ever look at you and say, I don't know you. He will never, ever look at you and say, you are not my child. He will only look at you and say, come to me. Sit with me. Talk with me. Cry with me. As I've known Jesus, it was a long journey, especially in those first years. I will never be a person that tells you that when you accept Christ, everything's just great. It wasn't great right after I accepted him. I had spent a lot of time running my life into the ground. But as I accepted him and as I got to know him more and read the word and know my Father, it started transforming who I am. And that's why I was asking that, can we open our eyes? Can we open our hearts? Because the everlasting Father, the mighty God, the God that is full of wisdom, he will come and he will meet you where you're at. And we can release everything to him. 20 years ago, many of you wouldn't have liked me. I'm not sure I like myself. But the truth is God has transformed me to a place in which I truly believe that you can love every person you ever meet. Whether you understand why they do what they do or not, it doesn't matter. You see them as your brother and as your sister. I don't have any ill will towards my parents. Do I understand why they did what they did? No. But you know what? To the day I die, I will pray that they know Christ. And I will pray and be thankful for my past, because if I didn't have that past, it might not be the greatest, but I wouldn't be who I am today. And so I live in this moment today, and I give him praise, and I say, thank you, Father, for you have redeemed me, and you have saved me. I say all that because I know I'm not alone. I know I'm not alone. We have hurts, whether it's got to do with a father or a mother or a brother or a sister or friends. We all have a place in which we want God to come and change and redeem. And if you came here today and you don't know him, now is the time. There is no perfect time to accept Christ. There is no better time down the road, right here, right now. If you're saying to yourself, I need a Savior, I need a Father, I need someone to tell me that they care about me, then yell it out or say it in your head. All you have to say is, Jesus, I need you. I believe in you, and Father, I want to call you Father. And it happens instantly. If you say that, we're going to have a prayer team at the end. Come up and tell them, or tell me, or tell Pastor David, or tell the person you came with, or tell a stranger. Just don't wait, because when you go out those doors, the enemy's going to tell you, God doesn't love you. And that will be a lie. Because can you imagine if we had a world that constantly went around believing that God loved them? And that we called each other brother and sister, and we said, I love you. You are odd, but I love you. But what a difference that would make. Now I know many of you probably know him. And you know him on a level in which life isn't perfect, but you know him. But we all know that we have places that we need to give it over to him. I knew him for a long time before I gave him my dad and before I gave him my hurts. And I have no fear about ever running into him or knowing him. He's not a part of my life, but God is my Father. And we all can give those hurts and those people to him. So in this moment, what I want to do as we close is to give you two challenges. If you don't know him, we're going to say a prayer in a moment, that you would accept him, that you would give this moment to him. And the next in the prayer will be if you have something to offer him. If there's that place that you're finally like, I'm tired of being bitter or angry or hurt or sad or alone, that you give that to him. So right now I'm going to ask you to close your eyes. And we're going to pray. Lord, we come to you right now as your people, as your children. We all come from different places, Lord. You know us. You know every hair on our head. You know whether or not our hearts are beating so fast right now because we don't know what to do. And so, Lord, I ask that your spirit would move amongst every chair in this building, every heart, every mind, Lord. And may we just call out to you as Jesus. We thank you so much for your son. And Lord, we say right now that he is Savior. We ask him to come and be a part of our life. May your spirit come and fill our hearts. Lord, for those of us who have been holding on, who are bitter about parents or life or hurts or whatever it is, Lord, we give it to you. We ask, Lord, that you would take it and that you would replace it with your truth, with your love, with your hope. Lord, also bring the people, the words, the hope that we need to move forward from this moment forward. Lord, we give everything to you, and I thank you for every person here. In Jesus' name, amen. If you can stand as we close. I never believe that anybody ever comes into this building or other places by accident. You're all here for a reason. And maybe you're here to hear the message, or maybe you're here to pray for someone else. Or maybe you're here because you're going to take what you heard and you're going to go home and you're just going to love the person you know that needs to be loved. But right now, I just pray that we all walk out giving praise and glory to the Most High God. Thanking him for today, thanking him for who we are, thanking him for life. And so may you go, knowing him, giving him praise. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen and amen. Blessings.